Are you wrestling with questions that really matter but just keep coming up empty or perplexed? Well, you've come to the right place. Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is committed to equipping you with answers that have stood the test of time. Our aim is to help you mine the Bible for all its wealth, so you can share those riches with a skeptical world still hungry for spiritual truth. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I'm going to begin the broadcast today with a quote of the day because I want to draw your attention to a resource once again available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Of course, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. The quote of the day comes from Leo Tolstoy. I guess I don't need to introduce him. He's a very popular 19th century Russian writer, widely acknowledged to be among the greatest novelists of all time. Probably best known for the novel War and Peace, but also the author of a confession from which this quote comes. The instructions of a secular morality that is not based on religious doctrines are exactly what a person ignorant of music might do if he were made a conductor and started to wave his hands in front of musicians well rehearsed in what they were performing. By virtue of its own momentum and from what previous conductors had taught the musicians, the music might continue for a while, but obviously the gesticulations made with the stick by a person who knows nothing about music would be useless and eventually confuse the musicians and throw the orchestra off course. And I think that quote of the day is poignant and profound in that we have to ask this question. In fact, a question that Oz Guinness opens his book up with, his book Last Call for Liberty. Will the torch of freedom be handed to someone else? Or will the torch of freedom be extinguished altogether? I put few books in what I call a must-read category. But let me say this. If you care about our liberties, if you care about the future of our nation, Oz Guinness's latest book, Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, definitely fits the bill. It is must read. So why do I say that? It is because few issues are more fundamental than our most basic and hard-earned liberties. And those liberties are now under attack as never before. The stock market might soar for the moment or otherwise. The big box stores may be packed during sales. Sports and entertainment machines may hum with their daily headlines, but no one should be deceived. Radical, violent, anti-democratic movements are being fomented. They're being funded on both the left and the right. The left sees only the danger of the right. The right, only the danger of the left. And so, extremism confirms and compounds extremism. Political debate has, well, it's degenerated into degrading and barbaric incivility. There's wild talk of spying and leaking and impeachment and governability, the 25th Amendment, and even assassination and secession is in the air. American leaders and opinion leaders are at each other's throats, intent on tearing each other apart, careless with their insults and their incitements. Many Americans are seething with rage over, well, over other Americans, and America is, in that context, locked in a mortal struggle for what each side believes is the soul of the republic. Heedless of the consequences, each side thinks the worst of the other. The once visionary leadership of the free world has ground to an inglorious halt, and with the suddenness of America's decline, we find a shock to our systems, a shock that is tragic to both detractors and those who admire America. In short, says Oz Guinness, what we are seeing is not politics as usual, but politics in a dangerous, radical style. Unfortunately, politics led by leaders who should know better. Oz Guinness's Last Call for Freedom, again, available for those who support the ministry. It's a hardback book. It is a keepsake. It is the treasure. And again, you can get your copy for your support, equip.org, or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Felix in New York, New York. Hi, Felix.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Okay. Great. The weather's getting cold over here, but I'm doing okay.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, so, okay, well, it's my first time calling. I basically had no idea I was going to, well, ask a question, but I guess, I don't know, a question came to mind, and I was kind of looking it up, and I basically wanted to speak to you more or less on Messenger and hit you up a couple of times. But, you know, I was just curious because I believe that it is so, but I'm, you know, sort of not sure. So I was wondering, my question is, do animals have souls? I don't think they do, but I just wanted to know what you have to say about that.
Well, what I would say is that the scriptures from first to last suggest that animals do have souls. Moses in Genesis. You can go to John in Revelation. They're communicating that the Creator endowed animals with souls. Now, there's a qualification that has to be made when I say that, because the soul of an animal is qualitatively different from the soul of a human being, and therefore there's reasonable doubt that it can survive the death of the body. So yes, Scripture provides us with sufficient precedent for believing that animals not only have souls, but will inhabit the new heaven and the new earth. I think of the words of Isaiah, the wolf will lie with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. Animals are some of God's most avant-garde creations, and it's hard for me to imagine that God will not resurrect them in eternity. Now, that does not mean all animals. Perhaps it's just petted pets. I don't know. The Bible's not clear about that. But some of the keenest thinkers that I know, from Johnny Erickson Tata to Peter Kreif to C.S. Lewis, are not only convinced that animals in general, but pets in particular, are going to be restored to the new heavens and the new earth. And if God did resurrect our pets, it would be in total keeping with His overwhelming grace in His goodness.
Well, you know, because there was a scripture I was looking at, like, I know in Ecclesiastes, I believe it's Ecclesiastes 12, that it talks about that, you know, when a person dies, that the you know, the body returns to the dust, to the ground, and then the spirit of man goes back to God who gave it.
Well, that is absolutely true.
Then it talks about the spirit of the animal, like the spirit of man should go upward and the spirit of the animal should go downward.
Yeah, and that's why I say there's a qualitative difference between the soul of an animal and the soul of a human being. These are two entirely different categories. We are created in the Imago Dei, or as icons of God, and therefore we are created, if you look at the broad arc of history, we are created from the dust of the ground, God blowing the breath of life into us. We are created, and we are not just created for a temporary space, we are created for an eternal space, we are created for deification. So the long arc of history is from creation to deification. It is not just from the fall to redemption. It encompasses that, but the larger arc is about us becoming gods by grace, and therefore there is a qualitative difference between the souls of animals and the souls of human beings. Good that you pointed to the scripture. Coming to the station break, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be right back.
The American Republic is suffering its biggest crisis since the Civil War, with competing visions of freedom pushing us to the precipice of cultural self-destruction. Will the Constitutional Republic be restored or replaced? In his new book, Last Call for Liberty, Oz Guinness explains that America has become a house divided, and Americans must make up their minds as to which freedom to follow. To receive your copy of Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
America is running out of time. A republic is suffering the biggest crisis since the Civil War, with competing visions of freedom pushing us to the precipice of cultural self-destruction, and the roots of the crisis run deeper than many realize. In his new book, Last Call for Liberty, Oz Guinness explains that America has become a house divided, and Americans must make up their minds as to which freedom to follow. Will the constitutional republic be restored or replaced? Guinness provides a stirring vision for faithful citizenship and renewed responsibility for a nation in need and a world that is watching. To receive your copy of Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right to our phone callers. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Dan in Indiana, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. Good to speak to you again.
Nice to talk to you.
I've got a question for you. Been studying the second chapter of John and the wedding in Cana, where Jesus and his disciples, and of course Mary was there, his mother. And the question I have is concerning the wine that was, the water that was turned into wine. And I was wondering if, I've studied both different ways of looking at it, and whether it was an alcoholic wine that Jesus made, or if it were a non-fermented type of wine.
No, this was alcoholic wine. There's no reason to think anything other than that. In fact, if you have studied the passage, you're probably familiar with what was said by the master of the banquet. I believe it was the master of the banquet who said that everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have too much to drink. But you've saved the best for last. So, I mean, that in itself means that this has to be alcoholic wine. I mean, the text is pretty clear. I mean, you usually have the good tasting wine at first, but when people are somewhat inebriated, they bring out the cheap stuff. So this is pretty graphic. It's earthy. But I don't think there's any question whatsoever that this is wine. And I don't know why people want to tamper with the text and say this is not fermented wine, this is something else. No, it's wine. Maybe the alcohol content wasn't exactly the same as you might get in a bottle of wine today. In fact, alcohol contents vary in bottles of wine. But this was wine. And there's no prohibition against wine in the scripture whatsoever.
Okay. Well, I've heard it explained both ways by different commentators and so on, and I was just curious what your thoughts were on it.
My thoughts, quite frankly, Dan, are that, you know, what the Bible does is make clear that we ought not to abuse food and we ought not to abuse wine. So in Proverbs 23, you have the wisest man who ever lived saying, "My son, please be wise and set your heart on a correct path, and don't join those who drink too much wine. By the way, don't gorge those who hang around with those who gorge themselves on meat. For drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags." So the prohibition here is against too much wine and too much food. That sort of goes in tandem. Both would be wrong. But it is not a prohibition against food, obviously, nor is it a prohibition against wine.
Okay. I guess the objection that I hear raised is the fact that Jesus would create it as something that would have caused someone to possibly overindulge. And that's some of the argument that I hear, you know.
But you could say the same thing about the food in the wedding, right? So Jesus,
sure,
the creator of all things, he's the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. He creates food. So what if someone eats too much lamb at the wedding, gorges themselves? Well, there's a consequence for that. The problem is not with the food, nor is it with the wine. It is with the excess.
Well, I guess the consequences of something in an alcoholic beverage is one would lose control possibly of themselves, do something that would be, you can't do that with food necessarily. So I guess.
Oh, but you can do something very, very horrible to your to your body. And not only that, but you can get very, very sluggish if you eat the wrong foods or the wrong combinations of foods or too much food. Look, yes, it is true that too much alcohol is a sin, but the Bible talks about that. Wine is a mocker, beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. Do not get drunk on wine. I'm thinking about now what Paul says in Ephesians 5. because that leads to debauchery. So don't get drunk on wine. Don't get drunk. There are many, many examples. I mean, I can't think of them all off the top of my head, but there's Paul, for example, saying to Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach. So wine can be medicinal as well. So the point is, again, you don't overuse alcohol.
Well, I appreciate your commentary. Thank you very much.
You got it, and I really appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Joseph in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for what you do. I know I'm only allowed to ask one question. I've got two, but I'll just lay down the first one. If that's all you want to answer, that's fine.
Well, we're trying to give other people a chance. That's the only thing. If you're really quick, I'll try to answer two, but...
Okay, I'll be really quick. In the different versions, in the King James Version, it says, in earth as it is in heaven, and the other ones are on earth as it is in heaven. I'm confused about that. And secondly, was the Lord Jesus Christ in the order of Melchizedek, according to the order of Melchizedek, or after the order of Melchizedek?
Yeah, well, the first answer is that I don't think it makes any difference whether you have the KJV or modern translations. The intent is the same. They're conveying the meaning as best the best meaning being on earth. So that's why the modern translations translate what the KJV has in earth as on earth. But the intent is the same. I thought you might want to make a comment. But anyway, let's go to the second question. The second question has to do with Melchizedek. Well, Melchizedek is Jesus Christ. He's not just in the order of Melchizedek, but according to the scriptures, Jesus Christ is Melchizedek. And you see that in a lot of different ways, one in the context of scripture, but also in what has been found, like the Melchizedek scroll, which illuminates what is in scripture. If you look at Melchizedek, the text is fairly clear. Melchizedek is without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life. No human being fits that description. Not only that, but you see in Scripture that Melchizedek did not trace his descent from Levi, and yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die. In the other case, by him who is declared to be the living. So in contrast to men who die, Melchizedek is declared to be the living. I unpacked this. Explicate is the word I was looking for. In more detail in my book, Has God Spoken? Let me go back to the phone lines, talk to Paul in San Diego, California, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Hank. How are you, sir?
Good.
I had a question. I'm a trucker. I listen to 131 every day. I was listening to the Jay Sekulow show today, and something new came up. He was saying that in 48 states, and the country of Puerto Rico, and over 2,900 schools right now, they are implementing kindergarten up to 3K, their quiet time, with a Buddhism cult. That's what the word we're using. And in other words, for 15 minutes, three times a day, I would imagine a beginning class, middle, and towards the end, they have to listen to a tape. For example, this is rain. And then you would hear rain and feel good. Think of nature. Close your eyes. The parents have not been informed. Some of the parents that found out through their children asked to listen to the audio, which they were denied. And if the child decides not to want to listen to the tape, they are escorted out into the hallway unattended as a punishment. And
I'm going to have to cut you off, Paul, only because I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Let me say that I like Jay. He's a friend. Probably what he is saying is absolutely correct, and it is damning in many ways, because in sharp contrast to the Buddhist teaching that we must eliminate desire, the Bible teaches that we must exercise disciplines in order to transform our desires. Ultimately, suffering is not overcome through stamping out the self, as in Buddhism, but through the selfless sacrifice of a sinless Savior. Sorry to cut you off, but out of time for this edition of the Bible Answers Man broadcast. My thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference all over the globe. You can give in a safe, secure fashion. Please be generous on the web at equip.org. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. That's why Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the strategic resource, Last Call for Liberty: How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. To receive a copy of this vital book as our appreciation for your prayerful and financial partnership during the crucial year-end month of December, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Stock markets may soar, stores may be packed, and the entertainment industry may hum with headlines, but don't be deceived. Radical anti-democratic movements are being fomented and funded on both the left and the right. Americans are angry at other Americans, strenuously struggling for what both sides believe to be the soul of the republic. Our society's conflicts are rooted in two rival views of freedom, one embodied in 1776 and the ideals of the American Revolution, and the other in 1789 and the ideals of the French Revolution. Americans must choose which view of freedom to follow. Don't miss Oz Guinness's essential new book, Last Call for Liberty: How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. To receive your copy of Last Call for Liberty, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.